So diving right in, if you're joining us today, it means you're interested in the Fulbright Outreach Lecturing Fund. One thing that you will note on this slide that's a little different this year is we are launching this program for this fall virtually. So we are allowing the opportunity for your institutions to apply to bring our current Fulbright Visiting Scholars to your campus through a virtual platform. So we're really excited that you're here to learn more about how this will, the process will take place, and we're really eager to get this underway. My name is Sarah Calder. I'm an Outreach and Recruitment Specialist for the Institute of International Education. I have the privilege to work on this program. I'm joined today by my colleague, Carmel Garrity. Carmel, would you like to say a quick hello and introduction?
Yeah, hi, Carmel Garrity here, Program Officer and Placement Advisor, and I'm delighted to be able to work on this wonderful OLF program.
Perfect. And then we're also joined by David Levin from the Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs. David, would you like to say a quick hello?
Sure. Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. And we're delighted to be able to talk with you about the Outreach Lecturing Fund program today.
Perfect. So with that, we're going to quickly dive in and let you know a little bit more about this program if this is your first time hearing about it. So the program, Fulbright program in general, mission is listed on this website. We like to touch on this a bit just to give you an idea of the overall mission that we all strive towards. So in partnership with 160 countries worldwide, Fulbright offers many opportunities for faculty, administrators, artists, journalists, lawyers, and professionals from all backgrounds, an opportunity to study, teach, or conduct research. The mission of the program, you can also see listed, is to foster mutual understanding between nations, advance knowledge across communities, and improve lives around the world. Part of our history is the program itself was established in 1946, so we're quickly approaching our 75th anniversary, and we're very excited about that. This program was and still is the flagship international educational and cultural exchange program that the U.S. Department of State has. And to this day, we continue to work closely with the U.S. Department of State. So as you can see here, the program itself is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State. The funding does come from the U.S. government, and then IIE has the privilege of administering this program on their behalf. So diving a little bit more into Fulbright, we want to today discuss what the Outreach Lecturing Fund is. And I saw a question come into the chat about whether or not this program is part of the Fulbright Scholar world. It is. As I said earlier, the Scholar program allows both U.S. academics and professionals to go abroad while also allowing professionals and faculty members from abroad to come to the U.S. and conduct their own research and teach here in the United States. What the Outreach Lecturing Fund allows, it allows your institution to apply to bring one of those visiting scholars to your campus. So they may not be primarily hosted at your campus, but it allows you to really engage with those scholars and bring their knowledge to your campus and to your community. Traditionally, this program is a travel grant, which actually allows that scholar to travel in the United States to actually visit in person. However, as I said previously, we've had to pivot, and we're now offering this opportunity virtually for your benefit as well as for those scholars' benefit. So this is now a grant for those visiting scholars who are still here to guest lecture via an online platform to your classrooms, to your wider campus, into the wider community should you partner with local K-12 schools or organizations in that city, community, or town community that's around you. Keep in mind this program is institutionally driven, so we do so ask that you as a U.S. institution apply directly to host these visiting scholars. As you can see on the slide, they can meet with you, they can lecture to your classroom, to your campus, as well as exchange ideas. And so the goal of this is really building this bridge to allow you to continue to network and grow internationally, but as well as growing internationalization on your campus. Traditionally, we would say at this time, at the start of the year, we have about 900 visiting scholars in campus. Unfortunately, that isn't the case this year. I'm sure all of your campuses are aware, but unfortunately, due to COVID-19, we've had to pivot a little bit. So we currently have about 85 scholars who were on grant when this happened, who are still here in country and are still interested in participating. We hope in the spring that you'll still be interested, and we hope to have a larger list at that time. But we're really glad that you're here right now, and we hope that you will be able to take advantage of these 85 scholars still in country. If anyone's looking for a list of the scholars who have actually identified themselves and said that they're interested in being selected, you're more than welcome to reach out to me directly at olf@iie.org, and I'll share that list and that location with you directly. But we really hope you'll take advantage of these scholars that are still here and are very much interested in sharing not only their Fulbright experience, but their professional expertise, as well as their culture in some of these virtual exchanges. One thing we note, and I'll tell you a little bit of the history on this, is this program, as you can see, serves a lot of institutions. On the screen is just a short list of the institutions that we really like to work with and engage with. And we see that this program is a wonderful opportunity for you to easily internationalize your campus. Traditionally, when we're doing in-person visits, we do say, if you're not listed on the screen, we invite you to partner with a type of institution listed on the screen with a K through 12 school. However, since we are in this virtual reality, you do not need to be one of these institutions in order to participate. So we actually do invite any institution to consider applying for a virtual visit this fall and or this spring. So keep in mind, we still welcome any of these institutions listed on this spring to on this slide to apply, but we are allowing a little bit more of an open opportunity for any institutions to take advantage of this program. We want to make sure that we're assisting you where your needs are. At this point, I'm actually going to pass the mic over to David Levin to talk a little bit more about the OLF program objectives. So David, please feel free to take it away.
Tara, thank you very much. And as you said, this is an opportunity for institutions to host a scholar from abroad who is here already on a Fulbright, coming to your campus for a short period of time. In this case, we're doing it virtually, obviously. But it's still the purpose is still the same. It's really designed for you to, so we say, to do some quick and dirty internationalization by engaging with this scholar on your campus, with your students, with your faculty, with your community. Sarah mentioned that the program is while we're in this virtual mode, is open to most any school. But having said that, the general audience we're reaching out to, which hasn't changed, is the group that Sarah mentioned on the previous slide, institutions that we consider often underserved in terms of international exchange, and secondly, institutions that perhaps are less familiar with the wide range of opportunities that Fulbright offers. Lots of schools, they'll do the OLF experience as maybe their first step into sort of the Fulbright world. And in fact, if you look at this program 5 years ago, it was driven by scholars who would contact institutions and then tell us they'd like to do a visit to a given school. We've changed the focus about 5 years ago to make the program institution-driven rather than scholar-driven, because we think it's more effective if you're looking at the list of available scholars, inviting people to your campus to, in a sense, meet your needs and help you internationalize. At the same time, we hope those scholars are giving you a sense of the Fulbright world, and you realize that, in fact, you could be sending your students to that scholar's country, or you could be bringing scholars in from around the world doing different kinds of Fulbrights. Fulbright is actually a constellation of programs, 7 or 8 different programs categorized under Fulbright. And the whole idea of OLF for lots of schools is to introduce them to that world of Fulbright and help them realize that there's a range of opportunities available to the institutions themselves, to your faculty, to your students, to go abroad and to bring faculty, students, and so forth from abroad to your campus. So it really has a dual purpose. It's one, it's what you could do now with this scholar through OLF, but it's also to help you learn about other opportunities that might be of interest to you in down the line. I mentioned this internationalization concept. It's a chance for you to bring scholars from other campuses, and we think that Fulbright is, you know, clearly a
David, I think we lost you. Are you still on the line? All right. Well, David tries to reconnect. I can pick up. Oh, are you back online, David? So we'll let him work on reconnecting real quick. But as David was saying, this opportunity does allow your campus to internationalize directly by bringing these voices to their campuses. Additionally, benefit for your host institution is it does also allow your institution to become more aware of Fulbright programs in general, not only for your faculty and administrators, but then also for your students on campus who are engaging in the classroom with these lectures and discussions. This allows them to see that there's an opportunity for them to also participate on their own Fulbright through the Fulbright U.S. Student Program. And then lastly, as it says on the slide, it'll give you access to leading scholars from around the world, and we do hope that you will come back year in and year out and continue to utilize this wonderful program to really enhance the internationalization efforts on your campus. In terms of the benefits for the visiting scholars, traditionally when these are in person, it does allow these scholars to see a different part of the United States. However, that can't happen right now, but virtually there are still many benefits for these visiting scholars. First and foremost, it really does allow them to expand their network, connect with faculty and administrators from other institutions and organizations. It allows them to grow that experience and really build on their Fulbright, while also allowing them to share what they have learned on this Fulbright, share their experiences, share their cultures with new audiences. So traditionally they are located in just one institution here in the U.S. This really allows them to, again, build on that and expand that opportunity for their 3, 6 months or year here in the United States. Moving on into the eligibility, this has changed a little bit as we have now entered this virtual reality. So across the board, host institutions should be an accredited U.S. college or university. If we have anyone who's from an organization who is listening into this webinar, please reach out to me. We will be able to work with you. But first and foremost, the real goal of this program is to engage with U.S. institutional audiences. Additionally, we do ask as a host that you do utilize your own digital platform to host these lectures virtually, be it GoToWebinar like this one, be it Zoom, WebEx, think Google Hangouts, things like that. Whatever platform you use, if you can utilize that, great. That being said, if you don't have a platform or if you need our assistance in hosting these events on ours, let us know and we'd be happy to set that up with you. But we would need to know that ahead of time so we can accommodate those requests. For the visiting scholars, they must be a current Fulbright visiting scholar grantee here in the United States. As I said earlier, we have about 85 who are still in the U.S. this fall. Traditionally, at this time, we actually welcome about 900. So just keep that in mind, that it's a bit of a different year for us. Additionally, for these Fulbrighters, we do still ask that they be on a grant longer than 3 months to allow them the opportunity to really engage and interact on this program. Sometimes for the scholars here just for a month or 2 months, they really don't have a lot of time to accomplish what their primary Fulbright project is, and so that's why we have that stipulation. And then lastly, they must possess a U.S. Social Security number and a U.S. bank account so we can send them their funds as part of their travel, their award in general. some ideas that we like to share with you of how to utilize the Outreach Action Fund is there's annual events that I'm sure your campuses celebrate every year. The one that's coming up right around the corner, it feels like a long way away, is International Education Week. We get a lot of institutions that really like to use the OLF funds to, in person, bring someone to their campus, but we hope you'll also utilize it virtually to not forget that this wonderful week is a really great time to showcase international voices and get your students and faculty interested in international opportunities. You can see some other months listed on the screen as well. They'll be forthcoming in 2021, but it's never too early to think about how best to utilize this program to fill out your calendar and your activities on campus. So we do ask that you really think creatively of how to use this. Again, in short and sweet, you're still welcome to, if you're a faculty member, apply and utilize these voices in your curriculum and in your classroom, should that be of assistance. But we do want you to think a little more broadly of how to really engage the wider campus community. Additionally, we do have some examples here. I will share, the session is being recorded, I will share these slides on our website, but some past culturally focused lectures as well as research focused lectures are listed on the screen. So you can see these scholars really are wonderful knowledge hubs of not only their cultural backgrounds and for their countries, but also within their disciplines. They are world leaders, and they do offer such wonderful insight into so many topics, as you can see. And again, this is only just a sliver of what we've seen in terms of OLF topics. As far as the application process goes, we try and keep it as simple as possible for you. We want to make it as easy as possible also. So first and foremost, you need to identify a scholar that you want to invite to your campus. You can utilize the scholar directory online, or again, you can reach out to me for a list of the scholars who are interested in being selected. From there, you can do a Google search to try and contact them directly, or you're more than welcome to ask me and the rest of my colleagues to reach out on your behalf to these scholars, and we'll connect you that way. Please keep in mind, we do not provide their emails directly, because that would be a breach of privacy concerns. However, we'll reach out to the scholars ourselves and ask if we can put them in touch with you or provide their contact details to you. From there, as you're contacting them, you'll work with the scholars to confirm a date and time that work for you, make sure it works with their schedule and that their faculty associate, who is their primary grant administrator on the campus, is aware that this is happening and won't cause any issues with their primary responsibilities should they be teaching or doing a research project at this time. And from once you have all of those ducks in a row, you will submit an online application, which my colleague Carmel will discuss in just a moment in detail. We have simplified this application for this virtual environment. Typically, it asks for airport codes, it asks for the travel dates, it asks for can you sponsor and put the scholarship in housing, certain things about cost share. We've removed a lot of those elements that really apply to in-person travel to keep this solely focused on the virtual aspect. But I will let Carmel discuss that in just a little bit. But once you submit, Carmel and her team will review, and you will get usually within 5 business days an approval message that this can occur and take place. So with that, I'm going to quickly segue to the website, if you just give me one moment, and I will walk you through how to navigate that scholar directory that you see the slide deck for. So let's see. There we go. So you should be able to see the website right now. If I go to our homepage, cis.org, under this carousel, you'll see something called View the Fulbright Scholar Directory. So this is where the screenshots came from. In this directory, if you were to look for the full list of, ideally at this time, 900 visiting scholars, you'd select non-US, non-US parentheses, visiting scholars. And from there, you can actually choose by country or by discipline and try and pare down that, those results. The other piece, which I did not do, I apologize, is you will want to put in the academic year and make it the current academic year. The 2020 to 2021 academic year will not be visible until early next year. I apologize, but because of us having to really push all of the fall start dates to the spring, we had to push that back as well. But if you were to search by arts and by that academic year, it will parcel down the search results for you. And so you can click on any of the scholars and go into their account directly to see what their background is. And so here you can see what their discipline is, what their title is, where their home institution is back in their home country, so in this case, Croatia. And you can see where they're currently hosted or were currently hosted here in the United States. So this scholar in particular was hosted at the University of Georgia. And then under the grant information, that's where you can find what their project title is. As you can see right here, this particular scholar's grant end date has passed. So that is where I can assist you to help find those 85 scholars to make it a little bit easier on your end. But this is how you would traditionally read that directory. But again, I'm happy to work with you in regards to the current scholar still in country. On this page, you can see the OLF website that you would navigate to under Programs, U.S. Institution, OLF. It is undergoing some minor updates, so just keep that in mind. But we have put in a section about hosting a virtual OLF. You will still see a lot of content related to in-person OLF, but from right now, for the fall, moving forward, all of these events are only virtual. So just keep that in mind that you cannot apply to bring someone in person for now. But we do look forward to allowing those opportunities, hopefully in 2021. From there, if you click over to the application tab, this is where you'll get access to the online application as well as other documents that might be important to you as you do navigate submitting those applications. And with that, I'm going to quickly segue back to the PowerPoint so Carmel can talk to you a little bit more about how to apply. Carmel?
Yes. Hi. Thank you, Sarah. So how to apply, you're going to register an account on the online application system. You will produce and upload a letter of invitation to lecture at a U.S. college and university. So there's a letter of invitation that you will need to do. You will get a letter from the scholar's faculty associate at their U.S. institution. You will make sure that the lecture does not take place within the last 3 weeks of the scholar's grant period, and the reason for that is that we have to make sure that we can pay the honorarium to the scholar before they leave the country. So you will submit your online application, if you can do it at least 2 weeks in advance of when you propose to have the OLF lecture occur, that would be very helpful so that we can review the applications in advance and give you the notification so we have all have enough time to plan for this lecture or lectures. Please allow at least 1 week for us to respond to your application. Again, hopefully we will try to respond as quickly as possible, but we may need up to a week to review. And then, as Sarah had mentioned earlier, this was originally a travel award. So in lieu of that, we are providing the scholars with an honorarium of $250 for each approved application that takes place. So it's each application, not each lecture. Okay? And I think, Sarah, you were going to, we were going to look at the online application at this point.
Yes. The website should be showing. Carmel will walk you through this, but if you want to start an application, you'll select this application button, and what will occur is you will get taken to a page like this where you'll register an account. This will be how you manage all of your applications, but for Carmel's purposes, she has started an application to show you the walkthrough, so I'm going to launch that for you right now, Carmel.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay, so as Sarah's kindly sort of got the ball rolling here, you will, this is the sort of eligibility area. You will look down through the different various portions. Are you applying on behalf of a U.S. institution? Yes, you will answer yes. Then you can determine which of these, of the following categories your university or college would be the appropriate one. So we could say art, whatever your small liberal arts, community college, rural college, select one of these categories and then hit the continue button here. And then we are brought into the OLF welcome page, and it provides some general information about the OLF application process, and it provides you with a checklist as a host. You need to get the relevant information from the scholar to complete the application. You need to submit the application. Well, this we say at least 2 weeks before the proposed event, and then ensure all the logistics are in place. And please be in touch with us if there's any changes in the proposed timeline or the titles of the lectures or anything like that. And then at the end of the process, once the OLF lectures have occurred, you will be in touch with us to confirm that the trip occurred. This is just a privacy notification here, and you will respond yes and then click continue. So in this section, this is just a mocked up application here. You will be completing your own host contact information, your university or college details. You will say, if for example you were intending to partner with another host institution, you would mark yes in this section, and then you would complete the details of the institution that you would like to partner with. If you do not wish to partner with somebody, you just obviously select no. And then, are you submitting information for a virtual or in-person event? At the moment, as Sarah's explained, all OLFs are in the virtual phase at the moment, so you would select virtual, then hit continue. And then at this point, you will fill in the scholar details, the visiting scholar details, name, country, their hosting institution, the date of the date that their Fulbright grant ends. We need to know that date so we can determine that there will be enough time to pay the honorarium to the scholar before they depart from the US. The scholar's contact information is important. And then hit continue to the next section. And in the next section, you're going to provide information about the OLF lecture itself. So if you are one of the institutions you're partnering with is on the priority list, you would tick yes. If you're offering an honorarium, that's perfectly acceptable. You can offer an honorarium to the scholar in addition to the one that they will already receive from Fulbright. If you are offering an honorarium, you'll put in the amount. We do need to be notified. Then in this section down below, you will be adding the details of the lecture. So a lecture title, the date of the lecture, the time of the lecture, and then the contact details for the lecture and the type of audience. So it could be general public, K through 12, faculty, graduate or undergraduate students. So you select the audience and then save that information. And then you will upload the letter of invitation here. And then you will upload, in the next section, you will upload the letter from the visiting scholar, faculty host associate, faculty associate. I hit continue. And then you can either sign here, and then at the end you will review and submit your application. So you hit continue here, and then you come to the next section, which is review and submit.
And as you all saw, we didn't fully fill out all of the OLF details for that lecture. So if you see any red details here, it's telling you you missed a section, and go back and check that. So you won't be able to submit until then. And then if you do wish to see a final proof, you can download it here. Was there anything else on the application, Carmel?
No, but I would like to just say that as you submit applications, if you do have questions, I'm very happy to work with you on any questions you might have technically about the application platform. And you can contact me at the olf@iie.org email account.
Perfect. So with that, I will take you back to the PowerPoint to continue. All right. So now you should be seeing information about what the host invitation letter should say. Carmel showed you where to upload that. Carmel, do you want to dive into this a little bit more before going on?
Sure, yes. So what should an invitation letter say? So in terms of the information that we would like to see in the letter, we would like to know what the purpose of the visit of the lecture is, the date and time of the types of activities and presentations that the scholar will engage in. Maybe it's a straightforward lecture, maybe it's a Zoom, maybe it's an interactive session. So we would like to know what sort of lecture or presentation that the scholar will be making. If you are going to offer an honorarium, it's not required, but if you are, we would need to know that you are and the amount. And then if you're going to collaborate with a nearby institution, we would like to know, especially if they're a minority serving institution, community college, liberal arts, or one of the underrepresented institutions. So we very much encourage, if there are institutions in your area and it's easy for you to include them in these virtual presentations, we would definitely encourage that would occur. But the basic information is that we want to know the purpose, the date, the type of activities, if there's an honorarium. So I think those are the main points.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Carmel. So once you have completed your virtual OLF, we do ask for you to continue to engage with us, because we want to find out how it went. we know this is new for your institutions, this is new for us, but we really want to document the successes that have come from this. We know it is different than having an in-person visit, but we do ask that you, as a host, complete an online evaluation form, which we'll share with you as soon as you have applied and your visit has completed. But we also ask for you to think ahead of time of how to document this experience. We want to really showcase the value that these visiting scholars still have, even in a virtual reality. So we ask that you take photos of the event live. You can ask the scholar to have someone take a photo of them presenting to you. We want to make it as engaging as possible. We want you to publicize it to your larger campus if possible. And we welcome you to write up news reports or stories to share with us. If your institution shares something about hosting one of these events, share it with us, because we like to share that on our social media as well. We like to engage with our institutional contacts and colleagues on social media. We love to tag you in on these posts. And the same can be said for the scholars that you bring. They're more than welcome to share their experience and their photos participating in this as well. Additionally, for the scholars, in order for them to receive that $250 honorarium, we do need that Social Security number in their file on the Scholar Portal, which they'll have access to. You do not need to do that. And then they also need to register for IIE Pay, so we can directly send it over to their account as soon as it's finished. It makes it a quite simpler process than in years past. But we do ask for you to just make sure we wrap up and close that up. All right. So with that, we're happy to answer any questions you have about hosting a virtual OLF at this time. So we ask you to navigate to the question or chat section of your account with GoTo and submit any questions you have. You can see on the screen that OLF email that we have referenced a few times, olf@iie.org. Both Carmel and myself are in there. We're happy to answer any questions you might have. We're happy to connect you with these visiting scholars. And then we also, in case you or any of your colleagues are interested in a Fulbright for yourself, you can actually refer yourself or a colleague to receive information about becoming a Fulbrighter and going abroad to do research and or teaching. So if you have any questions, we do ask that you reach out to your colleagues and really share the news about these wonderful opportunities that are really at your fingertips. We did just close the 21-22 Fulbright Scholar Program for research and teaching on September 15th, but we are eagerly awaiting the launch of the next round, the 22-23 cycle, in February. So just keep your eyes posted for that. All right. So there are a few questions, and I'll navigate between Carmel, myself, and David. But the first question we have is there a restriction this year if you met the scholar limit? I believe that's in reference to traditionally we say you can have two lectures in the fall, two lectures in the spring, two lectures in the summer, so a total of six in a calendar year. We are still hoping to stay with those to make sure that everyone is able to participate. However, if there are multiple scholars that go above those restrictions of maybe you've met them already, let us know and we'll be happy to work with you. But it's a new fall, so you're more than welcome to absolutely apply for two this fall. We look forward to working with you. We do have another question about honorarium, whether or not institutions need to provide that. As Carmel and myself have mentioned, we have, instead of a travel award where they get reimbursed for their flight and for, in some cases, food and lodging, it is now a $250 honorarium that the Fulbright program is paying them directly in order to participate. Should your institution wish to also issue an honorarium to those scholars, you are more than welcome to, but not required. It's up to you the amount, but if you do issue an honorarium or wish to, we do ask that you note that in the application, because we do have to report that out for their files and grant purposes. So just let us know about that. I was a visiting scholar at UC Berkeley. Could I get another visiting scholar Yes, if you are interested in becoming a visiting scholar, again, I encourage you to reach out to the Fulbright Commission or U.S. Embassy in your country about eligibility requirements and applying. Again, you would apply directly through them. So they would have all the application details. And should you become a Fulbright scholar again, we'd welcome you back, and we would also welcome you to participate in this program and be requested by U.S. institutions. But in order to come to the United States, we do ask that you reach out to the Fulbright Commission or, again, the U.S. Embassy in your home country. Okay. If there's any other questions, please feel free to submit them. What I can say is we have a lot of resources on the website for you. We're happy to develop more and help you really utilize this program. We really encourage you not only to think about using them on a classroom level, but also as a community-wide level as a way to really engage your larger institution, especially if your institution is so remote at this time and virtual. We really encourage you to take advantage of this wonderful opportunity. Sorry, I thought I saw something on the other line. Well, with that, I don't see any other questions that have come through, but Carmel and I are more than happy to address any questions that you have. Again, email us at olf@iie.org. We're ending early. I'm sure no one has ever complained about getting some time back in their day, but we really are appreciative that you joined us today to listen about this opportunity and how we have transitioned it into a virtual realm. We do look forward to the future of having this opportunity for all of these scholars to come back to your campus in person. So we do ask that you keep an eye out on the website and for emails when we do make that transition back. So we do look forward to that. But thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you have a great rest of the week and a wonderful weekend. Carmel and David, thank you again for joining us as well.
Thank you so much, everybody, and look forward to seeing your applications.
Perfect. Take care, everyone.
Bye.